Okay, we're live on YouTube.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the October 12th, 2020 study session of the University City Council to order. In order for us to then go into the regular session, are there any changes that are requested of the agenda for the public session?
Mayor and council members, there are two recommendations that I would like to make. The first recommendation is I would recommend leaving the public hearings open for I-1 and I-2. That is due to a significant number of residents expressing concern about the notice. So we want to make sure that we give ample opportunity for all residents to be heard during the public hearing comment section. The second recommendation I would make is removing items L2 and M1 from the agenda.
Thank you very much. Mr. Rose, would you like to move forward with the study session, Economic Development Strategic Plan Task Force?
Yes, Mayor. The Mayor and Council commissioned a task force in fiscal year 2020. The purpose of the task force was to work with our consultant, I-5, in drafting an economic development strategy for the council to ultimately consider. Tonight, we have members of I-5 with us. I believe that the discussion is going to be led by Stephen to provide you with an update on the status of that strategic plan. So I will turn things over to Stephen if he wants to introduce his team.
Sure. Thanks, Gregory. Good evening. It's good to be with everyone tonight. We had a chance to meet many of you in person or talk in person earlier this spring when we began the process. And obviously, with COVID, we got delayed over the spring and the summer. We were able to kind of restart things over the summer with our task force via Zoom. And even though we're in the midst of COVID, we think it's very important to kind of move forward with this process so the city can really use the economic strategy as the city really moves on post COVID. So with me tonight on the Zoom call, other members of our team, Jackie Wallington, Beth Noonan, and Allison Gray. Where we are in the process, we released last month in September the draft recommendations, about a 20-page framework document that was really kind of the framework of the overall recommendations that we wanted to get feedback on before we move forward with finalizing the actual draft document, which we hope to release shortly here yet this fall, hopefully yet this month with that draft document. But we wanted to get feedback on the draft framework before we finalized the overall draft document. We had hoped originally to do a in-person community open house as we released the draft framework, but with COVID, we weren't able to do that, so we had to pivot a little bit in terms of we did an overview video that we released last month. Hopefully, you had a chance maybe to view that. It's about a 30-minute video of us as a planning team kind of walking through the draft framework. And then the last couple of weeks, as folks either after downloading the PDF of the draft framework or reviewing the video, we've been hosting some small group Zoom meetings where folks could sign up for different times during the week, different times of day to talk with us individually. And then we've also had a comment form on the plan website, the invest uCity.com plan website. So we've had to pivot a little bit with that engagement, but I think it's worked fairly well. So we wanted to make sure we had the bulk of tonight in terms of this study session, kind of a chance to kind of have the council ask questions or provide comments back on the draft. I do want to walk you through about a 10-minute overview of the presentation. We did about a 30-minute overview on the video, just for the sake of expediency, try to do about a 10-minute version overview. So if you haven't had a chance to watch the video or look at the document in detail, give me a little bit of a refresher before we get into discussion. So if you just give me one, just about 30 seconds, I'll share my screen. This should work here. Can folks see the PowerPoint? think I see
some. Yes, I can see it.
Great. Mm-hmm. Well, just kind of walk you through that. Again, this is what we had shown released last month in terms of the process where we are thus far in terms of the, really what we're calling the draft recommendations, the draft framework. So our planning team members, as I mentioned, we talked a little bit about some folks who maybe weren't familiar with the process, you know, why we were doing an economic development strategy and kind of what it is overall. And then where we are in the schedule, in many ways, we're kind of in the home stretch in terms of where we are in the process. And like I said, we hope to release the draft document, the more detailed document, hopefully even later this month. And again, kind of catch you up in the process. In the spring, we released the assessment and market analysis earlier this year. That was kind of the really data-driven document. And then we've been working with a task force in terms of folks from across the city that the council has appointed to work with us, you know, through this process. So they've been a good sounding board through this process. And of course, Councilman Smotherson is part of that task force also. And then before COVID, you know, we were lucky, before COVID, we did, you know, we were able to have extensive one-on-one and small group meetings with a variety of businesses and property owners in the city to really kind of get their insights in terms of why they located in the city and kind of what they saw as future needs, you know, moving forward. So just kind of diving right into the draft recommendations. The draft recommendations are grouped within these six principles you see on your screen in terms of growing existing and emerging business sectors, ensuring equitable economic opportunities, support University City businesses and workers, collaborate with local and regional partners, celebrate and promote University City, which is kind of the marketing aspect, and utilize place-based solutions. So for each of these, we have several goals, several things in detail, just kind of highlight some of the key things on this quick overview. So the first one was growing existing and emerging business sectors. So we identified part of this is kind of looking at what are some of the existing strengths of the city, what are some emerging sectors the city can grow. So we looked at identified five sectors: accommodations and food service, which is generally hotels and restaurants, healthcare and social assistance, retail, professional, scientific, and technical, and that can be broken down a little bit further into what we kind of call professional, just kind of general professional office, and then more kind of tech focused office, and then finally manufacturing. And then we talked a little bit about each of these in the draft framework. Again, we can talk more in detail during kind of the discussion. I did want to highlight too before I move on. You know, I think manufacturing is one. I think kind of going into this process, you know, we were a little surprised by the amount of manufacturing already in the city. We talk about like you know quotients in terms of kind of gets into a little bit of the nomenclature, but you know we kind of call this kind of as an emerging sector is maybe not as strong as maybe as you would like to see for a designated sector, but I think it's very very important in terms of you're providing a lot of good entry level jobs. Also, industry that was less impacted by some of the impacts going on with COVID. Principle two, ensuring equitable economic opportunities. And again, three goals there. I want to highlight kind of the goal of investing in the third ward. And we talk about, during the upcoming comprehensive planning process, when that occurs, really using that engagement process to really help define the investment in the neighborhood from the expected Novus development in the future. Principle three, supporting University City businesses and workers. These were grouped around basically two categories of business and talent retention and expansion. And the second one, small business and entrepreneurship. On the business talent retention, and expansion, a couple of things to highlight. One is workforce development. And this was an example where, the city doesn't have to do everything kind of yourself as a city. You already have some kind of good partners working on workforce development. The school district already has a strong program. So we talk about the need in terms of of leveraging business retention and outreach programs to really help kind of better align the need of some of the business sectors, you know, with that existing workforce program with the school district. And we also wanted to highlight, you know, an increased focus on the international district. We talk a lot about really an overall increased focus on Olive Boulevard, but especially in international district. You can see on this next slide, kind of the bubbles there on the bottom are cell phone data, kind of visitor patterns, a little hard to see maybe on your screen, but it really shows the regional draw of the international district you know, throughout the region. So in some ways kind of an unkept, you know, maybe a little bit of a secret, but really you know, supporting that more, you know, moving forward. Small business and entrepreneurship. A couple of things here that we especially kind of talked about more in the overview video. One is, I think we heard a lot from businesses about having kind of additional peer support in the city. So the idea of having a business-to-business a networking group to kind of be that voice of local businesses. And then also supporting kind of overall businesses on a city, on a staff level, by really investing in staff capacity. And we know that, you know, budgets are tight, but I think, you know, to really accomplish the goals moving forward of the economic development strategy, especially, you know, there's a lot of work in kind of the overall business retention and expansion kind of outreach. A lot of it kind of requires, you know, kind of in-person contacts of really kind of making investments in that staffing. We recommend in terms of having a full-time economic development director. We also talk about the need, and this could be an existing staff person, of having maybe an ombudsman to kind of be that point of contact, especially for businesses that are starting, you know, starting up, for someone to, you know, contact to help them kind of navigate the process of starting up that business and some of the permitting things associated, especially with, you know, folks who aren't maybe that familiar with, you know, overall kind of business startup climate. Our principle four, collaborate with local and regional partners. A big focus here with Washington University. I think a key recommendation that we're making is really having a formal facilitation process with the university and the city, bringing in a third party, really help create and convene a dialogue moving forward. And again, I think some as part of this process, you know, it really kind of needs to continue, you know, further down the road. But I think really, you know, WashU is such an important partner in terms of not only, you know, the student population, their buying power, the other properties they have, you know, in the city, but really, you know, working to really build up that relationship, both in the short term and the long term. And then in terms of regional partners, you'll see kind of when we release the full document, you know, we mentioned a lot of partners in terms of that are important for the city. And then especially for Olive Boulevard, you know, the really focus on Olive, you know, there's a lot of partners, obviously, you know, MoDOT being a state road, you know, the Corps of Engineers just kicked off their flood mitigation, Metropolitan Sewer District, obviously. Even East West Gateway Council of Governments in terms of their Great Streets program could be a resource. So, you know, leveraging those regional partners, not only citywide, but especially along Olive. Principle five, celebrate and promote University City. This is kind of really the marketing aspect. A couple of things to highlight. One is expanding the economic development web presence. The Explore U City has been, I think, you know, a really strong asset in terms of getting that process kicked off with the Explore U City website and the related social media and e-marketing. But we recommend in terms of expanding that Explore U City website right now, and it's a good place to start. It's a little bit more focused on residents as an audience, but looking to expand that to also have data available for you know, developers and site selectors. And business perhaps looking to locate into the city. And we mentioned a couple case studies. One is Select O'Fallon, and we've highlighted in terms of, you know, some of the data that they highlight on their website. Again, this is very targeted for site selectors, prospective businesses, you know, developers, et cetera. So, you know, they really play up their, you know, key business sectors, which I mentioned, you know, the five that we're recommending for the city, those five sectors, you know, really play up those areas on this portion of the website. Also having some data sheets in terms of median income and some of those demographic information as along with some of the tapestry information that we pulled together with the assessment report earlier this spring. So we're really kind of, you know, having that readily available on your website. And then also then some other goals there you see there in terms of, and one of these is marketing a distinct areas of the city. And this kind of segues into the idea of having different districts. You know, University City has, you know, some great residential streets, you know, some great neighborhood streets, but there's really not really any defined, you know, named neighborhoods in the city. So the idea behind these districts of naming mostly commercial areas of the city by giving them, you know, a name, and except for the Loop, other commercial areas of the city aren't really named. But by naming these, you know, one, it starts to kind of give them a chance to have kind of, you know, targeted marketing for those areas. It also, as you'll see later on, in terms of targeting some of the economic development strategies in different areas of the city, and also targeting some different, you know, placemaking and infrastructure investments in different areas of the city. Different commercial areas, you know, need some different some strategies in other areas of the city. So the districts are one way to do that, and you'll see kind of in the final draft document for each of these districts we kind of have in terms of economic development, marketing, and placemaking a discussion on each of those. And then we've also then in terms of the five business sectors then you're recommending in terms of for each of those districts in which business sectors would be most applicable for those areas of the city. And then principle six, utilize a place-based a solution. Three aspects here. First one is increased focus on Olive Boulevard. And again, we kind of using kind of the district approach to really kind of target, you know, what those strategies are for the different areas along Olive. And I just kind of want to highlight two of those districts. One is the Heman Park District, which is the area around Heman Park. And this kind of a existing kind of a, you know, view of what that area looks like. And one of the key recommendations here then is from a business sector is really promoting more residential, especially north of Olive, adjacent to the park. One, that's kind of really a better, you know, land use north of the park in terms of taking advantage of that asset. And then two, you know, having, you know, some less commercial there and more residential would help then some of the adjacent commercial areas, you know, east and west of that area. So, you know, the rendering there kind of shows that kind of what that typical existing view looks like. And then kind of showing then, again, just a concept sketch of what residential might look like, you know, in that area. And again, incorporating some of the other recommendations we made in terms of placemaking and streetscape enhancements, et cetera. And then Olive, the area in Olive, this is, you know, east of Kingsland. You know, this is an area that we're calling the Olive Innovation District. And part of this kind of grows from the focus of the tech sector that we see growing in the city. That, you know, there's several, you know, strong and growing tech firms, you know, located on the Loop, but there's some limited room for expansion on the Loop, you know, for those tech firms or future tech firms. So we see Olive, you know, basically from, you know, east of Kingsland as being perhaps that future area of expansion for tech firms. And then, you know, with the opening of the Lewis Collaborative on Kingsland, Tech Artista is going to have a co-working center there on the first floor. So you're really starting to have kind of this potential tech corridor between the Loop and this future Olive Innovation District. So again, kind of a existing view there of what that is now. And again, kind of a concept sketch of what that might look like in the future in terms of on the left, kind of an office building on the right and the north of Olive, kind of mixed use in terms of perhaps having residential associated with that type of development. And the last two items in terms of Place Bake, in terms of keeping the Loop a top 10 street, really a multi-prong approach in terms of recommendations moving forward. And also similarly, you know, citywide strategies, several things here in terms of multi-prong, and again, using the district as a framework to really tailor those areas, recommendations to different areas of the city. And then finally, kind of to close then, updating the city's priority development areas map, I think it's been really since the 2005 comprehensive plan that the city's had an updated priority development area map. And so the areas that we've listed, all these are important, but we did want to give some sense of hierarchy in terms of first tier were areas that are kind of currently in development proposal stages, whether it's the Novus development, Delcrest Plaza, or the Del Mar Harvard Elementary School sites. And then basically two other areas that the city has already has extensive control over in terms of partial ownership, in terms of Olive at North and South and Olive at Midland is the first tier. And the second tier then, again, some other priority areas, the city don't have necessarily have direct control in terms of ownership, but, important areas in terms of the former Assurance City site along Olive, actually kind of the previous rendering kind of reflected that area. The Forsyth a site where the Metrolink station is at the city boundary, and then the West Loop area. In terms of upcoming schedule, I mentioned in terms of week of 28th and actually last week too, again, we had some small group meetings that folks could sign up for in terms of talking with us as a planning team one-on-one. And again, later this fall, then we'll be using the feedback that we received to be rolling out the draft economic development strategy later this this fall. So in terms of kind of the final strategy coming for approval, a little bit will be based on, again, we want to get the draft document out, give time for review and feedback on that. So part of the kind of when the final plan might come before the board for approval will be a little bit dependent on that review time of the draft document. So with that, I'll stop sharing my screen and I'll go back to the overview page. And went a little bit over my 10 minute overview, but be happy to kind of open it up for any discussion or questions or comments.
Thank you, Stephen, for your presentation. I am looking across my Partridge family or whatever, Brady Bunch boxes here, and seeing if any members of council have questions that they would like to ask. And remember, your microphones are on mute. Anyone? Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the presentation. I appreciate looking through it. Couple of questions, really more follow-ups, because I think you touched in some form or fashion on most of the things I was interested in. Obviously, COVID came along, compromised, gatherings, getting together, meetings of some of different sorts. Do you feel like you were able to get a representative group of folks together and hear from businesses both on Olive and in the Loop, even in light of COVID and the restrictions that they posed?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think we have. We did a lot of the early engagement, before COVID hit. So in terms of, we were planning to do about 15 to 20 kind of business and stakeholder meetings, and we ended up doing, I think, maybe just a little bit over 30, kind of meetings earlier this spring. So we were able to do those before COVID hit, and it was our intent with our kind of engagement strategy. We know that the comp plan process will be coming up, at some point in the future. And so, we knew that would be a very intensive engagement process. We didn't want to, try to have the same type of engagement process as a comp plan would in terms of, you get engagement fatigue. You just kind of burn people out in terms of trying to pay attention. So, we try to structure our engagement in terms of a bit more on the business focus. And then also part of the reason why then we asked the council to appoint this task force for us in terms of having representatives from all the wards. So you know, we knew kind of going in that it would be, you know, a different type of engagement than you would have with, you know, with a comprehensive planning process. So I think I feel pretty good about it overall.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I had one other question. No, I'm having some difficulty locating. Forgive me. Manufacturing. You had talked about Cunningham Industrial Park. To me, that is a real underdeveloped resource within the city. And again, I'm glad that it's highlighted here. Can you talk a little bit more about how that could be expanded? Because you hear different things about manufacturing, that it's, you know, going the way of the dodo, that, you know, there won't be any more. But then I hear other things that are very encouraging. So overall, what do you see as the manufacturing landscape, particularly the lighter manufacturing that would be appropriate for Cunningham?
Yeah, and I think, and I'll start. I'll let, you know, Jackie or Beth kind of jump in too. Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, you've got some great existing companies there, you know, already. I think sometimes they kind of fly, under the radar. But you know, they're kind of some of your largest employers. Again, you know, and also some, you know, good, especially starting pay in terms of you know, pay structure. You know, obviously, you know, the city, you're a little bit landlocked in terms of, you know, growth. And I think, you know, to Olive, you kind of got this boundary in terms of, you also kind of want to have the Olive Innovation District kind of being a good front door, you know, to that side of town. But, you know, we talk about in the recommendations about, you know, really trying to have, you know, some partnerships with Wellston in terms of perhaps, you know, the city could really start to help, you know, manage and market Cunningham, but even, you know, some of those, you know, businesses could, you know, even be, you know, future business could even start to happen in, you know, in Wellston in terms of, you know, kind of their side of the city line. But yet the city, you know, having kind of an intergovernmental agreement in terms of, you know, city could help kind of manage that or market that. So you're still getting some of the advantages of job opportunities, et cetera. But you're taking advantage of some of the, you know, the room for growth that you don't necessarily have, you know, as much, you know, in the city. I don't know, Jackie or Beth, do you want to jump in on that too?
Are you muted?
Yeah. The only thing that I would add to that is that, yes, a lot of people talk about manufacturing declining. Manufacturing is kind of morphed a little bit. It's going more using technology a little bit more, so it's a little different than it used to be. There's actually a facility being developed in the city that's a manufacturing incubator, and it's supported by the federal government. So there is definitely still a market for manufacturing to occur. And with what's going on right now, that is probably even going to be heightened just because of the challenges that a lot of businesses are having bringing parts back into the country. So a lot of folks are looking at how do we start up this manufacturing section and grow it a little bit more. And you have a good base here in University City.
Okay. Questions from members of council or Beth? I don't know did I cut you off? Are you, we good? Okay.
Oh, I'm fine. Jackie covered it.
All right.
Thank you.
I have a few which I'd be happy to start in on. And, we've sort of dallied back and forth on apartments along Olive. And you had probably one of the better streetscape views graphics for that. And I'm trying to discern. We've really never talked about that in a comprehensive way as a member of council. And I know we had a presentation done from a developer some time ago. Am I assuming that particular development that we were talking about, which was done during, I believe, a study session. Is there any movement on that, or are we not moving forward? Any idea?
Councilman Smotherson's main, go ahead.
Are you talking about the Velocity?
Yeah, Lou Velocity.
Yes.
The latest, and it's, sorry about that. Hold on a second, I'm having a problem. If you don't mind, Mr. Rosen, sorry, I didn't pass this on to you, but the latest that I'm aware of is that they're doing, they're getting bids on builders or contractors in reference to the floodplain area, and they're getting bids on that. And that, I don't know if Mr. Rose has that information or not. That's the latest. They are still moving forward, but right now they're getting bids, is what I understand.
Okay.
Midland and Olive. That's it.
Yeah.
And Stephen, the reason I was only asking that is because I think if we start someplace and just start moving east or west, maybe more likely west, that may help us at least start changing the streetscape on Olive. And then the other one, I was intrigued about the healthcare and social assistance services in University City, which I assume is pretty much King, as you mentioned, Kingsland Walk, Partridge Place, Brentmore Park, Brentmore Place, and One McKnight. And if anything, if you had something for us to be doing now to assist these businesses, is it job fairs? Is it training? Is it simply making outreach to them? Because we really do have a rather robust group of these entities, and I don't know if they get together. I don't know if they're all competition. It looks to me like they go from the highest of high end to some that are much more medium, and some that then are probably more for those that are low income. So I'm kind of curious as to ways that you may have seen other communities step out to help those businesses expand.
Yeah, I think part of it, and we touch on too. Beth kind of jump into in terms of, you know, we talk about, like, you know, BRE programs, you know, business retention and expansion. Yeah, and a lot of it, you know, again, a lot of it's just kind of legwork in terms of you know, not only talking with these some of these businesses, you know, and as part of kind of group, but also talking to them kind of one on one, you know, and kind of that, you know, kind of constant kind of, you know, back and forth in terms of making sure that you have an understanding of kind of, you know, their current and future needs, because it's always changing. You know, even though we had a chance to talk to some folks in the spring, you know, things, you know, are constantly evolving. So just having that line of communication in terms of the best way to, you know, kind of, you know, it may change from a, you know, yearly basis in terms of maybe 1 year is more of an alignment with, you know, some of the workforce programs, and another year maybe it's a little different focus. Beth, you want to jump into?
Sure. I think this is sort of goes to, I mean, Stephen alluded to it, having a structured business retention and expansion program where you do develop survey instruments to ask people questions about their needs. You know, are you, you know, what are you struggling with? What are you, where do you see your growth? All those kinds of questions, just about, and building relationships with those folks, those firms in your community, so that when they have an issue or they have a thing, they know that they can call on the city and the city will be responsive. Even if the city itself is not providing the services, but can serve as a conduit to other resources. So a lot of that is just that relationship building. Another piece is understanding where your home-based businesses are. We had an interesting conversation with a young woman who started off as a CNA and now has her own business. And I think she was appointed to the senior commission in the city. But understanding who those folks are and whether or not they fall within that category, so you can start to look at bridging relationships, creating, you know, sort of some synergy. And then also it's a way of highlighting, you know, once you get to know these, the different firms and their needs, you can highlight that so that you attract and engage other kinds of aligned resources and services that are in that same sector, but not necessarily more senior facilities, but or, you know, home healthcare, different kinds of businesses that are aligned and they like to cluster together. That's the whole principle of cluster growth, is having similar businesses, seeing there's a certain concentration that tends to attract others that are similar to or aligned with. So those are sort of the kind of key things, I think. I don't know if Jackie or Stephen wants to add anything more to that, but.
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's good.
Well, I guess my question, though, is even in this time of COVID, is this a time when the city manager and I or Cliff or someone, we invite all of them to a Zoom meeting and say and have sort of conversations about, tell us about your business, tell us about your needs, tell us if we can help. I mean, I'm, I, I'm not sure that all these folks don't seem to be competing for the same end user. They don't. They seem to go the entire economic spectrum. So I'm wondering whether they compete on employees. I wonder if we help them with getting employees from the high school if they're looking for maybe for some kids who are right out of school. My curiosity is just, I hate for us to wait until we say we're going to get an economic developer and do this. My question is, since we're all kind of living on Zoom, and whether we like it or not, I think Zoom makes us much more efficient, makes us much more impersonal, it makes us a bit more efficient, and whether we even just start making outreach to some of the lower hanging fruit that is there, because with the aging of America, I don't think this demographic is changing anytime soon.
Right. I think the answer is yes. And there's no reason to wait in terms of, and actually, you know, we found actually Zoom has been, you know, we've had another kind of, you know, some other projects over the summer in terms of, you know, kind of doing like stakeholder meetings via Zoom. And actually we found it actually works pretty well sometimes even for introductory meetings, because that way it's pretty convenient. You don't have to worry about traveling to someone's office or, you know, going through a secretary, you know, you jump on a Zoom call and you start having that discussion. So yeah, I think, the answer is yes. I mean, there's no reason to wait in terms of having some of those dialogues.
Are there other questions or comments from members of council? Alita.
I just had a question about, in the proposal, it talks about making all of a one lane or a two lane street rather than a four lane street. And I like the idea of having, you know, bringing the two sides of the street together more in that way. Do you think, so how much of Olive would you propose that be done to, and would that be feasible for the traffic that we get on Olive?
I think referring to that, we call it the road diet in terms of, and basically, you know, based on information we have, and again, you know, we're looking at it from a very high level, traffic, especially east of Hanley, around like 11 to 12,000 cars a day. And so roads that are good candidates for a road diet, which basically, you know, right now you have four lanes and a turn lane. So basically your typical road diet would be like, you know, two lanes and a turn lane. So it basically gives you more room for, you know, streetscape enhancements or some of the things, you know, we were showing. It is like 12 to 15,000, cars a day. So you're kind of right there in terms of that existing condition. Now that those numbers are coming from, MoDOT, you know, they have very generalized numbers. Before you can really kind of move forward, you would need to do a traffic study to really, you know, kind of fine tune, you know, that analysis. And also there's some things in terms of like amount of trucks and, you know, left, you know, amount of, you know, turning movements, you know, especially left turning movements. You know, there's some nuances there you would have to make sure to be worked out. We didn't cover it in kind of the framework, and we didn't cover it in the presentation. But, you know, I mentioned, you know, East West Gateway Council of Governments, being a potential regional partner. You know, they have, I don't know if you're familiar with, you know, their Great Streets program. I don't know if the city in the past has tried to submit on that planning grant process where it's a federally funded planning grant, you know, through East West Gateway, and there's a local match, but basically what you would spend on a traffic study would be, you know, a local match to basically leverage a much larger planning process. So I think, you know, Olive might be a, you know, good candidate for that. And I forgot to mention, I mentioned just kind of briefly too, you know, also, the Corps of Engineers, my understanding is, you know, they just recently kicked off the flood mitigation study. So there's, you know, there's especially some properties that are along Olive that, you know, we require, you know, flood mitigation. But there's an opportunity with the flood mitigation to not only get some of those properties, better situated in terms of being able to be developed, but also then maybe potentially create some amenities with how the flood mitigation is done. We'll have in the draft document just a brief mention of Brentwood and their work with Deer Creek down there in terms of, you know, similar, they've been working on it like 5 or 10 years. It's not a short-term process, but, you know, they're using their flood mitigation process to really be a driver for not only making some developable sites, but also then, you know, creating some, you know, amenities, you know, for, you know, the community in terms of additional park space, et cetera. So, you know, there's sometimes you can find additional benefits with these flood mitigation work than just, you know, a straightforward, you know, bare bones, you know, engineered solution per se.
Thank you.
Got a question.
Was that me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Crow. Just real quick, I just wanted to find out, did WashU give input in the Olive Innovation District at all? Because especially, you know, knowing that that SureSave lot belongs to WashU, have they seen your, the sketch, and, or do they give any input into that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, they were one of the groups we met with in the spring in terms of kind of seeing what we're proposing now. I mean, we've shared the PDF and the present, that folks know the presentation was out there in terms of all the stakeholder groups that we've met with in the spring. So we kind of let everyone know that, you know, that information was out there, you know, on the website to view. But I haven't had any discussions, you know, since we've kind of done that concept, you know, with them directly.
Okay. All right. And then my last question very quickly is, will there be concept sketches made for the International District and the Olive Gateway District? And the reason I ask that is because, is that going to be part of your final package? And the reason I ask that is because of their location in proximity to the Olive 170 development, you know, because they're going to be that's going to be the most critical districts in reference to that development. And, you know, so the quick, these sketches, I think, work well. And so I just would like to look forward to seeing what those look like.
Sure, no, that's a great question. And the short answer is, unfortunately, no. We've done some other things in terms of kind of more diagrams, some different areas like on Olive Gateway, kind of express some things, but, you know, in terms of some pros and cons, the kind of future, you know, development pressures in that area. But we had scoped in terms of our scope to just do a couple kind of key sketches. I mean, it'd be great in terms of you know, kind of doing a sketch for each area per se, but we just didn't have that in our budget and our scope, kind of be able to do one for kind of each area. And we also want to be a little bit careful too in terms of trying to pick some areas where you know, like the Olive, you know, there was a vacant site there. Some of these other areas, it's going to require a little bit more thoughtful site design to kind of make some things work. So it was a little bit beyond our current scope to kind of get to that level of detail for some of those other areas.
Okay, well, how much do you need to have that done? I mean, I just kind of asking. I'm just playing, because I'd like to see sketches, because I think that the sooner that we can actually kind of give direction to those areas, I think is critical. And the sketches in the districts are great. And I think that's the same thing we need in those areas, because it then gives us some direction and ideals for those areas. So that's all.
And we can follow up with staff in terms of maybe what, you know, in terms of what that would be. Would your priorities be Olive Gateway and the International District, those two districts, Councilman Smotherson? Those would be kind of your two priority districts?
Those would be my priority, yes, because of their connection to the Olive 170 development. That would definitely be my connection. My priorities, yes.
Gregory.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, you might recall that the council has set aside, I want to say it's $50,000 to do a master plan of Olive Boulevard. And so that project will result in various designs for the entire corridor. So just as an FYI, for you. I think it's either 50,000 or 100,000. I just don't remember exactly which one, but I know that you've set aside funding for that project.
Any other questions by council members or staff of our guests this evening? Alita, Ms. Klein, you are muted.
I had one other question. Can you hear me?
I think we're having some technical difficulties with your internet connection, but give it a whirl.
Okay. I've had some questions from residents about the possibility of closing the Del Mar and the section of the loop, parts of it, at certain times, and opening the street up so that there were no traffic going through that part of the street. What's the feasibility of doing something like that?
You're talking about like temporary closures?
Yeah, so maybe on Fridays and Saturdays in the evening or during the day or something.
Yeah, I think we touched on in terms of, you know, the importance of events and programmings in terms of a placement, and that would definitely, you know, fall within that. We also talked about, in the loop too, and maybe Ms. Rose can touch on it too, in terms of, there was, some allocation in terms of the loop to have its own loop special business district strategic plan. And so some of those, I guess there's kind of two things. One is that, there's that loop strategic plan in terms of kind of getting some consensus from businesses on some of those event type activities, because again, you're kind of, potentially, closing things off. So even though we might think it's a good idea, if you need, kind of build consensus amongst those business owners there. And then also our understanding is that, there was recently done a parking study that also looked at the loop that Lott Mueller did earlier this spring. And one of the recommendations there was, kind of some further analysis on circulation in the loop. So I think kind of those two components would kind of need to align in terms of, so I guess that's a long answer in terms of, I guess we're not making specific recommendations in terms of, making closures as part of this economic development strategy. It's a little bit too, again, kind of beyond kind of what we're doing. But I think, I think it's, it could be a good idea. I think there needs to be some consensus built with those businesses, and also then making sure in terms of like circulation and parking, that it works, functionally.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing no one else with a question or a comment, we will adjourn the study session and then wait until 6:30 then for our regular session. Thank you to everybody. We appreciate all of your help in moving us forward. So thank you again for joining us, and we will have our meeting in about 10 minutes.
Thank you.